Now we know true today that the church is an imperfect organization. It's not perfect. We know that. But God is one day going to present it a glorious church without spot or wrinkle to himself. That will be after he cleanses all imperfections at the judgment seat of Christ. And it'll all be taken care of. Everything will be straightened out then. But the church in the life of the individual is so, so important. I'm going to give you some reasons for it, but I think you probably believe that. I think it's probably why you're here this morning, because you believe the church is important. And it has so much importance in every Christian life. Now, there's been, and let me make this statement. People have said to me, well, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. Well, now listen to me. Technically, that is correct. You're not saved by going to church. Is that right? That's right. You're saved by accepting Jesus Christ as personal Savior. So technically, that statement would be true. You do not have to go to church to be a Christian. But let me make another statement. It's an impossibility for you to be a good Christian if you don't go to church. It's an impossibility. And you say, Brother Ross, is you sure that? Well, I'd just like to take you around to a lot of people's houses who claim Christianity and do not go to church. And I want to tell you, their lives most of the time are a mess. Okay? They're not living a good, solid Christian life, because the church, God established the church. Christ is building his church. He didn't even give us the command to build the church. No, he said Christ will build the church. What he gave us command to do is to make disciples. Big difference. Jesus said, I'll build my church. But he commands us then in the Gospels to go out and make disciples. We're to go out and get people saved. We're to go out then as a church and train them how to live for God. You see, that's what God has given us the responsibility of. You see, not to build the church. Jesus will build his church. Amen. But we're to make disciples. Amen. That's what God has given us to do. So anyway, I'm going to give you some reasons here. The very first reason I'm going to give you, if you'll turn with me over to the book of Hebrews, the 10th chapter of the book of Hebrews. And I'm going to read verse 24. And it says, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now, I think I'd give you a little bit of background. I've done this before. It won't take but a moment. But there may be somebody here that didn't hear this. When you talk about here where God has instructed us to assemble ourselves together, he was instructing a group of people that was probably going to have to put their life on the line to do so. This wasn't like it was in Jasonville, Indiana. You get up and go to church, or you don't get up and go to church. You do whatever you want to do, but if you get up and go to church, probably no one's going to come around and arrest you. But in these days, these were days of great tribulation for these people, and he was instructing, no matter what, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Even at great cost, don't forsake that. God knew how important it was for you and I to be together, to hear the word of God, to fellowship one another, and to encourage one another, how important that was, even at the cost of possibility there could be some heavy cost paid, maybe people be arrested, maybe people be thrown in jail. He said, don't forsake it. So if you get a little of that background, it helps you to understand he wasn't just making a statement, well, you guys go to church now, I don't want you to forsake it. Oh, no, it's much deeper than that. It's very serious business, okay? So God is telling us in that verse of Scripture, he said, what are we to do when we go to church? He said, you're to consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Don't you know that what church is, as we gather together, what we are to do is consider one another. And we are to provoke to provoke unto good works, to do right. See, we're to provoke one another in encourage, and he'll say that word in a moment about encouraging, but he wants to encourage each other. That's why we come to church. Now there's other reasons. We come to worship him. We come to pray. We come to give praise to him. We come to do all of those things because he is the main one we come to meet. There's no doubt about that. Amen. But we come to consider one another. Amen. See, and you probably know this. We get caught up in this thing, and really, we come to church, and all we're thinking about is, what am I going to get out of this? What you know? How's people going to treat me, and how's this going to happen? Why don't we just consider one another? Amen. I mean, isn't that what it's all about? Sure, it is. That's why he's saying here. You see, so God wants us to encourage other Christians. Look what he says in verse number 25: not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting. He uses the word exhorting, and the word exhorting there basically means to encourage one another. Now let me encourage you. That does not mean to encourage one another to do wrong. It means to encourage one another to do right. Okay, the exhorting is not to exhort someone to do wrong. No, it's to exhort someone to do right, to encourage one another to do absolutely right. If there's someone that isn't attending church regularly and doing like they should, it would be right and proper for God's people to exhort them. Now listen to me. Don't go to them and say, what are you doing out of church? What's the matter to you? That's not the way to exhort. But it is right and proper for any of God's people to go by and say, you know what, we miss you, and you need the church. And according to the Word of God, you need to be there, and we want you there. We want to encourage you to get back in church where you should be and you know, do right. Amen? But you do that with a tenderness in your heart, not a judgmental spirit, but a tenderness in your heart to say, we want to encourage you to do right. Because, folks, there's all kinds of Christians in this world, and there's people who sometimes get away from God. You know that. I know that. And the thing they need is someone saying, listen, let me help you. Let me be a blessing. Come on back to church. Let's get where we should be. You know what I'm saying? And I want you to know I love you, and I'm praying for you. Understand? That's exhorting. And you see, we consider one another. And it's a right proper thing, folks. You look around this morning, you look around today, you don't do it in judgmental, but you say, someone wasn't here today. You know, I'm going to take it. I'm going to give them a call. I'm going to go by and see them. Just tell them how much they've missed and encourage them to get back in church and be right, do right. Amen? See, that's one of the purposes of the church, is to exhort one another, encourage one another. If every one of us would just come to church this morning and say, you know, I'm not going to come worrying about how I'm going to be treated or what anybody's going to say to me, but I'm going to be a blessing to everybody I can be a blessing to. Amen. I am just going to do it. And you'll be surprised at the results of that. Amen? That's what the Lord said. So the church is so important. It's a place where we can encourage one another, come together, encourage one another, help one another, you see, as we live for God. It's a tough old world out there, folks. It's a tough old world. You know it is. And you know what you need is encouragement and help. You see, you need to get close to God. Okay? All right. Another thing is, of course, and I might say the very purpose of this in all of our lives is the winning of souls to Christ. But a church should be a place where we win people to Christ. Over in the book of Acts, the 8th chapter of the book of Acts, verse 30 and 31. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. There's a statement in that portion of scripture that I read to you that is very an enlightening statement. If the Ethiopian asks the question, he says, how can I, he says, except some man should guide me. Do you know the importance of people dealing with people? Do you know the importance of that? When I say this, God has established getting people saved by using people. Now, folks, that's his way. We know they get saved through believing the word of God. We understand that. But listen to me. Think about it yourself. Did someone present the gospel to you? Sure. Well, you see, Brother Ross, I got saved by just reading a tract. Well, who gave you the tract? Who left the tract somewhere where you could find it? You say, Brother Ross, I just picked up my Bible and got saved. Who gave you the Bible? What I'm saying to you, it is God's plan that man be used to help win souls to Christ. We know we don't do the winning. We know we're not the one that does the saving. It's God that does that. But God uses people. So this Ethiopian eunuch said, how can I accept some man should guide me? How can I know? That's why we have preachers. That's why we have Sunday school teachers. That's why we have personal witnesses from people. That's why we have tracts. Understand? Because you see, God uses men. Now, and when I say that, I'm using that in the sense men and women, boys and girls, okay? But he uses human beings to bring the gospel to people. That's God's way. So the church is established, first of all, secondly, that we, in our line is here, it's a place where we win people to Christ. Now look, it's not just coming down this aisle. It's going out from here, taking the gospel of Christ, telling people about Jesus that they might get saved. Certainly we want them to get saved here in this church. We want them to walk the aisle. But folks, a lot of times that does not happen. A lot of times it happens out here on a doorstep somewhere. It happens out here in a house somewhere. It happens out here on a street somewhere where somebody's given, and then they come and they confess that they've received Christ. What I'm simply saying to you, the church is so important in winning people to Christ. Amen? We just can't forget that. See, this man, as I look at that and I read that scripture, he kind of was a little bit flustered. He was reading the scripture. He did not understand it. Well, he said, how can I know? So, unless some man should guide me. And of course, Philip was glad to do that. He began to preach unto him Jesus. Okay? So don't ever lose track of the fact that God wants you and I to be a witness for him, no matter where we are. Amen? That's God's plan. That's the way he does it. See, he doesn't do it any other way. So the responsibility of the local church is to help people, encourage people, to win people to Christ. I would say this. We have held training sessions here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. We went through the David Wood program right here in the church. What I'm saying is, and I'm going to say this to us here. There may be some young Christians that don't know a lot about soul winning, but I would say probably every person in here knows how to present the gospel. You know how to tell how you got saved. And basically, that's what soul winning is. What happened to you? How did you get saved? Understand what I'm saying? So it's the responsibility of the church, individuals in the church, all of us in the church, to present the gospel. Be a witness for Christ. Not only that, it's also the church has a purpose for helping its people raise godly families. I want you to go with me over to the book of Deuteronomy, please. The sixth chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. I want to show you, first of all, something here in 6th chapter, the 6th verse, and I'm going to read verse 4. Deuteronomy 6, verse 4. Hear, O Lord, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I commanded thee this day shall be in thy heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand. They shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. Now, what he instructed Israel was, he said, listen to me, he says, parents, moms and dads, I put the responsibility for teaching the Word of God to the parents. That's where it's at. That's where it lays. Now, what happens in the church, God has given the church as an addition to help teach the children, yes, but not be the main teacher when they come to Sunday school. We get them for how long here? Maybe in Sunday school, maybe an hour, not quite an hour in Sunday school. And it's a wonderful place for these teachers to teach the Word of God to them. But folks, you can't do all of that in an hour that needs to be done. If the parents are not doing it, it's not going to get done properly. All we can do is come in and try to be a blessing and a help and get the Word of God to these young people that only get that. And thank God for that. But folks, listen, that's not really enough. God instructed the parents to teach their children the ways of God. Talk about them when you're walking around the house, when you get up of a morning, when you go to bed of a night. In other words, he's trying to tell us is that's what you talk about. You refer to these things. Of course you have to do other things. Of course you have to work. But you can always add the scriptures into daily life. You can talk about this, talk about that. You can, as you're together as a family. You can talk about the goodness of God at a meal time as you sit down and say, wasn't God good to us today? Wasn't it wonderful how God took care of us? Wasn't it wonderful that God provided this food for us? Isn't that wonderful? You see, you can put the Word of God, you can put the principles that God has in His Word right in everyday life. And God said that's what you're to do. Okay? And of course, then the church comes along and is a help, never was to take the place of the family, but was to be an addition to the family. Amen. I want to tell you something. I hope I've done this. I want to do that. I don't ever want to look out here and take credit, myself or the church, take credit for a child that's got saved and is growing up and is walking with God. I want to first of all give the credit to the parents. Amen. And then I want to say thank God for the opportunity to help put some inputs. Right? Thank God for that opportunity to put the input in. Bring them here and we'll teach them the Word of God. Yes, we'll help you in the raising of your children as far as that goes, as far as the training of your children. But the parent is responsible. Okay? But what a place. What a place for the church, for the people, to young people, to have a place where they say, that's my church. That's where I go to church at. Amen? So it's so important. Not only that, it certainly is, the church is a place that will help us strengthen our spiritual lives. I dare say that, and I think I can say this, I would probably find it very difficult to find a Christian who could be in church that's sitting home, not in church, and their lives are very strong spiritually. I just can't buy that. You don't see that. Because the church helps strengthen you. You know, this may not be everything you wanted this morning, but you can get a little bit out of this to strengthen you today. Amen. You can get some things that'll help you. If you really want it, you can get something. True? Sure you can. And that's what it's all about. Teaching of the Word of God. Strengthening your Christian life, you see. Being faithful into the house of God. So important you be here every time the doors are open. It's just so important you do that. Why? Because you hear the Word of God. You fellowship together. Amen. You strengthen one another, you see. All right, over in Matthew, the 6th chapter of Matthew. I'm going to go ahead and start reading verse 31. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or where shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. What he's telling us there, he said, what needs to be done is for us to seek first the kingdom of God. That's the first thing we're to seek. Now, in today's world, that is not really accomplished most of the time. I'm not saying in your life, but I'm saying most people do not seek the kingdom of God first. They seek the worldly pleasures. They seek what is going on in as far as in their job life, their work life. That becomes more important many times than their spiritual life. God says, no, you seek first the kingdom of God. All these other things will be added unto you. Isn't that right? You see, God wants us to seek him first. And it's a testimony all over this community here of people who are not seeking the kingdom of God first, but they're seeking all these other things, and God says, you've got it reversed. Seek first the kingdom of God, and then I'll add all these other things. He said, I know you need them. You think our Heavenly Father does not know the need of our life? And you could read that whole portion of Scripture. I'm not done so for sake of time, but you read that whole portion of Scripture. God knows what you have need of. He knows that. So seek you first the kingdom of God. Get it in right priority. Amen? That's what he's telling us, you see. Well, what happens then is that the church helps you to do that. The help helps to pinpoint you. Even the things I said this morning, right now, I'm saying to you, seek you first the kingdom of God. So you say, I need to seek first the kingdom of God. I've told you before, I preached a message on the word balance. The word balance is one of the most wonderful words and so needful words in our Christian life. Keep everything in balance. You know what? God knows you have to go to work. God knows you have to make a living. He's the one that set that up. Amen. But keep it in balance. Don't let it become the main priority in your life. No, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And he says, I know what you have need of, and all these other things will be added unto you. Amen. So the preacher comes along in the church and he preaches these things to you and keeps you in balance. Amen. Keeps your priorities right. Amen. And that's so important, and it's important that I keep after you about those things. Keep your priorities correct. Seek first the kingdom of God. Amen? And all these other things will be added unto you. And there's so many people out there, bless their hearts, they're having all kinds of troubles and difficulties in life, and it's because they got the thing reversed. And they won't straighten it out. I'm not mad at them. I'm not down on them. I'm just saying, wouldn't it be better to do it God's way? Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and then all these other things will be added unto you. Right? Sure. Just getting in priority. So we need to learn to humble ourselves, and that's what it takes, is a humility. Humble ourselves and say, you know what? I need to seek God's will, first of all. Not only that, of course, we need to be obedient. Now, I read to you over in the book of Hebrews, the 10th chapter, but God tells us to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. He said, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I want to tell you something, and he was saying that to them back there, but can't you see the day approaching? Oh my, can't you see what's going on in Israel? Can't you see it's constantly in the news, where years and years ago, quite a few years ago, you have very seldom saw Israel in the news. It's on a constant in the news now. God is saying, well, look over, see what's happening. Don't you know your redemption draweth nigh? So he says, if that's true, don't you think you need to be together? Don't you need to hear the word of God? You be strengthened in your faith? Yes, you do. Why? Because the day is approaching. See, I don't know what's going to happen. You know, I'm not a prophet. But I want to tell you something. Things could get way worse than what they are. And boy, we need to be close to God. Amen. We need to be close, to the Lord. So we need to learn to obey him, you see. We need to do exactly what he says to do. Well, what happens? How does that happen? Well, let me tell you. You coming to church 3 times a week will help you do that. It's a thrice reminder through the week that you need God and that he's there for you to help you. Amen. So again, learn obedience. And so another thing is the church does is it teaches us how to battle, how to fight. Oh, you say, Brother Ross, you mean, no. It teaches us how to battle the spiritual battles that you and I have. You see, you get strengthened in the Lord. You come and you're strengthened. And then when you face a battle out there next week, and I guarantee you there'll be some, if not next week, it'll be the next. Because the battles are there. Amen. And so we need to be strengthened, you see, in the Lord, you see. Over in Matthew, the 16th chapter, I think we're still in Matthew, so if you'll turn over to 16th chapter. Verse number 18, I'll just read it. He says, "And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." I don't know whether you ever thought about it in this respect, but when he says the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, he's talking about a warfare. He's talking about war. And he's not talking about we're to stand back here and wait till the gates of hell attacked us. That's not in the scriptures. We're to attack the gates of hell. And he said, they will not prevail against us. See, we've got it all backwards. We sit back and wait till the battle comes. We ought to be out there charging. I mean, amen? You see, and God said the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. But I want to remind you in that, there's warfare. This Christian life is a battle. If you haven't figured that out, you're going to have some real troubles. Amen? It's a battle. And you need to come to church to get strengthened for that battle. Amen? Have you seen, haven't you seen people out here that does not go to church and they say they're Christians and they're thrown by everything that comes their way? They're defeated. Why? They're not strong. They have no strength in them. Understand what I'm saying? So you come to church, you see, and you learn how to stand fast and stand against the wiles of the devil. Why? How? With the armor of God on. Not in your strength, but in the armor of God, in God's strength. You stand against these battles. Amen? So folks, listen, you need the church. You need the preaching. You need the fellowship. You need the encouragement from God's people. You need that because the world isn't going to give it to you out there. Amen. You need it here in the church. So we learn how to battle. Not only that, look over in chapter 5 of the book of Acts. I want to show you also that the church is a place where you can learn to fear God. Okay? I want to show you what happened here in Acts 5th chapter. I think you're pretty well familiar with the Ananias and Sapphira and how they had taken what they owned and they took it out and sold it and brought it and said they was giving everything to the church or to the ministry there, the work of God there. But secretly, they kept some of that back. What they was wanting was praise. They was wanting honor. They was wanting to be praised because Barnabas had done the same thing, and everybody said, oh my, isn't that wonderful? They said, let's do that same thing, but let's keep part of it back. And God said to them, wasn't that yours before you sold it? Wasn't that yours after you sold it? And it was. You know what they wanted? They wanted the praise of men. So they lied, the Bible says, to the Holy Ghost. They lied about it. Now, what I want you to understand is what happened, and we'll look here at verse number 10 and verse number 11. Then fell she down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost, and the young men came in and found her dead and carried her forth, buried her by her husband. Her husband had been stricken dead. Now she was dead. Why? Because they lied to the Holy Ghost. And it says, and great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. Now fear came upon the church. Now I really believe the church is a place where we learn to fear God. That's why it's important. That's why it's very important that we have some great good standards here. It's very important that we see to it when there's people who are not living like they say they're supposed to live. Now, I'm not just talking about some little thing. I'm talking about they're living in sin and they're a member of this church. Should that be just okayed? Of course not. So what happens then when it isn't okay? Fear of God comes upon them. People say, you know what? Around here, if you don't live right, they're going to do something about it. You understand what I'm saying? See? And let me say to you, I'm working on some things in my study. I've been working on this for many, many weeks to get things in order where we can take care of our church membership, which we need to do. You can't join a church and live like the devil. I'm talking about people, you know, it's already 1 Corinthians 5th chapter. 5th chapter tells about a man who was living and had his father's wife. And it wasn't his mother, but he was father's wife. It was well known all over every place. He was living in sin, terrible sin. And he stepped in and said, you put that man away. Put him away from you. You see, that's one of the problems with the church today. See, there's no fear of God. In other words, I can do what I want to do. I just do what I want to do. But you get the fear of God in them, it's different. It's supposed to be a place where you learn how to fear God. Amen. And then also, of course, it's a place where we prepare to meet Christ. Over in Romans, the 14th chapter of Romans. I'm going to read verse number 12 through 13, I think verse 12 and 13. So then, and that's 14th chapter of Romans. So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block in occasion to fall in his brother's way. You know, I can never judge, or you can't either, the motive of a person's heart. I don't know why people do things. I can't say, well, you did this because of this, because I don't know your heart. But God did not say that we could not judge sin. In fact, too many other scriptures tells us, just like in 1 Corinthians 5th chapter, he tells us what to do when there's a certain person sinning. I can't judge a person as far as motive. Why does a person do this? What's in their heart? I can't read their heart. Okay? But he says, God says, that there we're going to someday stand before God and every man will give an account of himself to God. Isn't that true? I mean, that's true, isn't it? Sure. So what the church helps do is help you to realize that and help you to strengthen your Christian life, because someday you and I is going to have to stand before our God and give an account to God Almighty, not with my wife standing beside me and my children standing beside me or our congregation standing beside me, but me standing before God and give an account. And you will too. I mean, amen? Sure. And so what does the church help you? Well, the church helps you to strengthen you, make you realize that this is serious business. This is not any game. Most people take Christianity as a game anymore. It's not a game. It's serious business. We'll stand before God, he says. And he says, let us not therefore then judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block in occasion to fall in his brother's way. So what are we to do? We're not to put a stumbling block in our brother's way. We're not to go out here and put such a stumbling block it would cause our brother to stumble. So it's important how we live. I mean, amen? Isn't it important how we live so we won't put a stumbling block in our brother's way? What's what God says? So he says, be careful. Live right. Do right. Why? You don't want to put a stumbling block in your brother's way. You don't want to stand before God having put a stumbling block in the way of somebody down here, or maybe a bunch of somebody's, and cause them to stumble and fall. So God says, every one of us going to stand before God and give an account. Okay? So what's the church help to do? I hope I helped just a little bit by just telling you that this morning. Just encouraging you, helping you. Understand it's serious. It isn't a game. Serious business. Amen? All right. I might just mention to you real quick because I don't have much time here. But I believe the church does help get people ready to stand before Christ. I think the church does that. I you know, that's what my desire is, and it's for me and for you too. But listen to me. When we stand before Christ, our motives will be inspected. Now, I'm going to talk about that, but not just our actions, our motives. Why did we do it? You see, God knows the heart. He knows exactly why you and I come to church this morning. Did I come because I'm a preacher? He knows. He knows why you're here this morning. He knows why you live the way you live. If you live good for God, why do you do it? Do you do it to glorify Him and everything that you do in word or deed? Do you do it to glorify God? Well, He knows. You understand what I'm just simply saying? He knows the motives, and they will be inspected. Not only that, our words will be held accountable for them. The Word of God tells us, and I think it's in Matthew, the 12th chapter, as I remember, the Word of God tells us every word will be judged. I want to tell you something. The older I get, the less I speak. I'm serious. I'm very serious. I know I have to speak up here, but I want to tell you something. You want to be careful the words we speak. Amen? Now, I'm just trying to help you. Amen? And not only that, of course, our deeds will be examined. Those things that we do will be examined. Amen? That's not to scare you. That's not to be mean to you. It's to warn you and I. The deeds that we do will be examined before God. Now, you and I know that our sins are washed in the blood of Christ. Thank God. We'd all be where we deserve to be, and that would be hell without His shed blood. Amen. But the deed of a Christian, as a Christian, not to determine heaven or hell, but to determine rewards, determine our position that God gives us in heaven, will be determined by the works that we do, the deeds that we do, the words we speak. Understand? So what I'm doing to you is I'm saying to you, boy, shape up. Live for God. Love Him. He loves you. And He wants to one of these days stand before Him and He say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? Sure, you want that, and I want that for you. But I want to tell you, it's serious business. Amen? Brother Jack. All right, again, pray for Wayne Allheiser. And let's see, is Tim working, Lori? Or okay, Tim is working. And Cindy Davis, Cindy did come the one night of the revival on Wednesday night, said she was coming back, so we just want to keep praying for Cindy. And then let's see, there's Don and Debbie Davis. I don't know whether they're out there or not. I'm not sure. Sometimes they come in for church. Craig Klein, does anybody know if Craig's sick? Is he here? Okay. Oh, he's teaching. I'm sorry. I got him teaching Brother Don's class. Yeah, where is he, Craig? Okay. And Cora and Renus Wagner. And Renus back there, but Cora? She's back there. All right. Cora's helping Kim back there. All right. Thank you so much. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the grace of God and your goodness to us. Help us to love you and walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen.